sky, and your spirit is one with me. Your wings span the mighty ocean. Your eyes see everything. The slightest of your motions can make the continents ring. Yet in all your might and glory, vanished from the skies, leaving just another story amidst millions of man-made lies. They tell of how you fell from the sky, your once proud beauty aflame, to vanish from your throne on high, leaving only a memory of your name. Rainbow bird, almighty phoenix, come once more into the eyes of man.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Free American Hour. I'm your host, Clay Douglas, publisher of the Free American News Magazine, and just want to tell you, we've got both issues, two issues of the Free American available now, and both of them are about as powerful as you can get. The first one has the History of the Rothschild, that's the November issue, it's still available, and the second one has the story of the North American Union, the giant step towards one world government. We've got the story about the Iraq veteran jailed and drugged on misdemeanor charges, and Senate Bill 1959, the Homegrown Terrorism Committee, will decide. Basically, it criminalizes dissent. And both these issues are available to you if you buy 50 of each. It only costs a couple of bucks a piece. And you can sell them for $5, or you can give them away if you want to educate people on what's happening. And this issue, January issue, the latest issue, it's already in the mail to all of the subscribers. It's got Ron Paul and George Bush on the cover. George Bush saying, would I lie to you? Oh, yeah. It does a bear navigate in the woods? Yes, sir. And Ron Paul for, let's reject the police state, Ron Paul. Got him on the front and back cover. So every issue that you hand to somebody will make people aware of Ron Paul, too. And we need to sell these issues. I can't just give them away. So we're asking for your help today. All you got to do to get them mailed to you today, and we just mailed out several hundred yesterday, is call me at 888-678-1444. And I've got guests on today, two different guests, so we're going to talk about that. But let me tell you very briefly, there was an uproar about the vote count. It's the vote count. The votes are being counted by an Israeli defense company, and I don't think they really want Ron Paul in there. So we got vote fraud occurring in both Iowa and New Hampshire, and they were going to check on the vote fraud. They were going to one group called the Granny Warriors raised $57,000. PayPal wouldn't get it. No, but the news is they still got the recount. Harry Haskell.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny Did You Rob Bill Gates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. Did You Rob Bill Gates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? Did You Rob Bill Gates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want? What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. Did You Rob Bill Gates.com can show you how? Don't wait any longer. Go to Did You Rob Bill Gates.com. That's Did You Rob Bill Gates.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground or $30 outside the U.S.
Welcome, my guest, Mary Hasker. Hello, Mary. How are you?
Hey. Hello.
Hello, Mary. Welcome to the Free American Hour, dear.
Thank you.
Mary, there's a story that's been kind of making the rounds on the Internet, and I ran across it, and then I found you that you've got some personal knowledge of this. Couple, man and woman, met, fell in love because they were really attracted to each other.
Yes.
And they got married.
Right.
And this is in England, I believe, this occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got some disturbing news.
That's right. Terrible news.
Terrible news.
Yes.
Do you know both of these people personally?
I don't know them personally, but I have read the story and certainly can empathize with them. It's just a terrible situation. The fact that they were adopted and from twins who were adopted and taken by different families, they were separated at birth. And, of course, then they grew up, and there was this attraction one to the other.
Brother and sister. They were brother and sister.
That's right. They were brother and sister. And so there would have been a natural attraction anyway, but, of course, the poor young people, not knowing that they were actually related, loved each other and got married. I don't know how it was divulged that they actually were twins, but that did come into, you know, into their knowledge, and of course the marriage had to be annulled. So I'm sure it was very devastating for all, you know, all concerned, especially the twins. I think that, you know, this type of the adoptions, I think that children should know, should be told when they're adopted, and backgrounds about their families to prevent this type of thing happening.
What's the this created kind of an uproar in England.
Yes.
And to change the law. I don't know how changing the law could prevent this from happening.
Well, I think if children are told, first of all, I don't think that twins should be separated. That's my opinion anyway. I don't think twins should be separated, whatever the circumstance. And also, I think that, you know, I know that families, brothers and sisters are separated through all sorts of reasons. But I think the children, as, you know, as they're old enough to understand, should know, you know, about their family background, where they came from, whether they had brothers and sisters, and all those things. I think that's every individual's right.
Yeah, the Lord David Alton said they were never told they were twins. They met later in life, felt an inevitable attraction, and the judge had to deal with the consequences of the marriage that they entered into and the issues of their separation. The new bill that's been introduced in England hasn't been passed yet, would change regulations about human embryology.
Embryology, yes.
To prevent a reoccurrence. But you are the author of a book, The Reverend's Mother's Daughter.
Yes.
And
mine is a very unusual story because I was adopted by a reverend mother in England. And my story is different from the twins. I was, my mother was already married to a Baptist minister, and they housed overseas African students. This was back in the 1930s, who were going to be taking either medicine or law at London University. And my mother had an affair with one of those students. So I was the result of that affair. And my mother's husband was devastated. I just found my own family just 3 years ago. And so I have a sister who was 90 years old at the time, and she filled in some of the gaps for me. Although my Reverend Mother was, you know, she really was compassionate. She took me at 2 weeks old. She heard about the story, and of course I was not wanted by my mother. I heard from my sister that she had tried to abort me. So, you know, there was rejection from birth, and then this Reverend Mother, as I said, heard the story, took me into her home. She actually just had a home for the aged, and later on she bought a house across the road and then started taking in children as well who were, you know.
This was a Mother Superior in England.
Yes. Yes.
And because she took you in, she ended up...
She told me when I was older that it had always been her desire to have a home for children as well. So with my arrival, I guess that really triggered things for her. But I was the only one that she legally adopted. She adopted me when I was just 2 and a half. And she always called me my Mary. She said, "You're my Mary." And of course, when I was little, I knew that I was sort of special to her, and I didn't understand why. And but then later on, you know, she told me how she had legally adopted me. So,
What was it like meeting your 90-year-old biological sister for the first time?
Well, it was interesting. She was very British. She actually was in Utica, New York. I did a long family search. I went on the internet, met all sorts of neat people, doing this search. And then when I went to meet her with my husband, she filled in a lot. She told me how, you know, my mom had tried to abort me. And what was terrible for her was at that time she was 22 years old and carrying her first pregnancy. She was a newlywed. So you can imagine, here's her mother who should be helping her through a pregnancy. Her mother is pregnant again and has had an affair out of the, you know, outside the marriage. So I really empathize for all of them at that time. It must have been terrible for my sister. She told me that, you know, when I met with her. The only thing was, she didn't want me to meet the rest of the family. I got in touch with her through her son, who is my nephew, and just 3 months younger than me, I think. Really mixed up story. But she didn't want the rest of the family to meet me. So for a year, I struggled with that, and I felt really disappointed. But eventually, I talked to my pastor in my church about it, and because I won't go into it now, through an amazing set of circumstances, I found out that my great-nephew was a pastor. And through wonderful circumstances, I met him, and he was and his family just welcomed me with open arms, and that was wonderful.
So, what was it like growing up in wartime Europe? You were
that was tough. My first memories are the home where we were was just across the river from Hampton Court Palace. So you know how medieval that area is, and we had there were tunnels running under the high street there. And that is where we would go once the raid started at night time. They had deck chairs and camp beds and things in the tunnel. And then the raids got so bad, we were evacuated to the south of England. However, the raids continued there. And we had one or two frightening experiences. I remember one time we were playing in the garden on a Sunday evening, and a German plane flew over and started shooting at us. It was just terrifying. None of us were hit, but people on the beach further up were apparently blown to pieces. And so, there were a lot of horrible things. Not only that, I was separated from the Reverend Mother. The children were sent to the south of England. She stayed in Thames Ditton, where the home was, with some of the elderly folk. And so, you know, some of the caregivers in the home were abusive, and I had some really horrible experiences of abuse. So, however, that's all in the past, and I'm a happy camper today. But I do tell all this in my book.
And your book is available on to the Reverend Mother's Daughter.
Yes. Actually,
that's available at Amazon.com and places like that?
And yes, and Believe Books, actually, which are my publishers, and they're a Washington-based company. And if people are interested, they can just go to ReverendMother'sDaughter.com, and then they can click on Believe Books and order the book if they like.
Yeah, the people that have read it are very complimentary, Mary. Very well said. I've read Mary's book and loved it. I woke up last Sunday morning at 3 a.m. and couldn't put it down until I finished it at 10 or so in the morning.
That's right.
Got to take a break here. We'll be right back.
Okay.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny Did You Rob BillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. Did You Rob BillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? Did You Rob BillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want? What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. Did You Rob BillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains six DVDs that contain 10 different programs, two books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
All right, we're back. We're talking with Mary Haskert. And the book is ReverendMothersDaughter.com. Mary, it's certainly an interesting story from the beginning.
Yes.
And you were certainly came into this world at an interesting point in time in history.
Yes.
But you... You took up nursing. You fell in love. You had a family.
Right.
And that didn't turn out.
No.
Quite right either, did it?
No. I love my husband. He's Italian, and we did have a wonderful life for quite a few years, and traveled, lived in Italy and the Bahamas, but then one day he came home late and. Of course, like so many others, I knew that he was having an affair, and he kept promising it was over, and it never was. So finally, he left me. But soon after that, I met the Lord Jesus. So even though I had trials and tribulations, it was a wonderful revelation to really know about the Lord, and he helped me through many, many situations.
And you've come through very well. In 2002, you met your current husband.
Yes. Actually, I had met him before. My his daughter was the mayor of our city here in London, and she was. But prior to being mayor, she was a lawyer, And of course, when my marriage broke up, I needed a lawyer. And I remember saying, I was a very new Christian, and I remember saying, oh, I wish I could find a Christian lawyer. And one of my friends told me about Diane. And so she took care of that situation for me, and we became good friends. She eventually introduced me to her parents, and her parents had a Christian retreat center. So I would go with our women's group. I was director of women's ministries, and also I ran a program for single parents and their children. So both groups would spend time at Gilead, the retreat, and there I formed a friendship with her parents. And so we had that friendship for almost 17 years. And then her mom eventually passed away with cancer. And then, lo and behold, Al and I got married in 2002. And how all that happened, I'm telling you some now, but the details are in the book, and it was really interesting. Really interesting.
And you're living in the United States now?
No, we live in London, Ontario, in Canada.
Right.
Yes. But well, listen, our daughter's in the States.
I appreciate everything that you've been through. And what's the story that we started out with about the couple,
yes,
that married?
Mm-hmm.
What has come up with that?
Just from my personal perspective, as I've reflected on that story, is as I said at the beginning, I think that children really should be told. You know, I wasn't told. Reverend Mother felt she was protecting me by not telling me all the details about my own family. But it was quite an adventure for me searching for them, and it makes the story very interesting. But really, I think children have the right to know. And it's a sad thing, actually, isn't it, that so many children are put up for adoption. And all that, a lot of it comes because man's not following God's laws and not living the way God wants us to live. And then all these poor children are in these circumstances and need to be placed elsewhere, and which creates all sorts of problems. We know that some adoptees are very happy. But, you know, I heard the other day a woman said that she was adopted, and she had a friend who was adopted, and the adoptive father had told her if ever she searched for her own family, he would disown her. So that's a terrible slant too, isn't it? You know,
yes, but have you heard any more about this couple? I mean, they met each other, they fell in love, and they were married. To find out they're related, I don't know if I would allow that to make much difference. And if I had a relationship with somebody and found out she was my sister, I don't think I would care much.
I have not heard any more, and I don't know if there's any more news stories out about that. I checked it on the internet a couple of days ago, and it was just, you know, that one story that came up. And of course, the twins that are concerned don't want their names revealed or any details about them as a family. I just hope that they didn't have children. And I wonder how long they were married. We don't know those details. But as I said before, it's a very sad situation. And I'm sure, I would imagine they're having to go for counseling and all sorts of things.
I would imagine so.
Yeah, and probably those parents are regretting that that they didn't tell their adoptive children the whole story.
So Mary, thank you again for being with me.
Oh, thank you, Clay. Have a good day.
That's ReverendMothersDaughter.com.
Yes.
Thank you very much, dear.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Got another guest coming up, and we'll get her take on this in just a moment.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Next guest is on the line, Dr. Bev Smallwood. Hello, Bev. How are
Hi.
You? Can
Hello.
You hear me, dear?
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the Free American Hour, dear.
Thank you.
And the thing that we're talking about and your area of expertise is, this was not supposed to happen to me.
That's right. Who hasn't said that? I know I've said it lots of times in my life.
The guest I had on right before you went through a number of things, adopted,
mm-hmm.
and from a broken marriage, and she talked about a couple of twins that were separated at birth who met each other late in life and fell in love and got married in, over in England.
And, that's interesting.
That I said, I'm not sure, quite sure how I would have dealt with that.
That definitely wasn't supposed to happen to you.
I guess their marriage was annulled, by England when they found out they were brother and sister. And I kind of made the comment, you know, if I met somebody and I was in love and I found out she was my sister, I don't think I would let anything separate us. But I may not be quite normal anyway. You say there's there's 10 make or break choices if life steals your dream and rocks your world.
Right.
Yeah, and I think I related to you earlier. You know, I went through something like that.
You went through a series of things like that.
You're a psychiatrist, right?
I'm a psychologist.
Psychologist.
Uh-huh.
Okay. the difference being?
A psychologist is a PhD who has about the same number of years of training as a psychiatrist, but a psychiatrist has been to medical school, and so they prescribe medicine. Psychiatry is a specialty within medicine, whereas a PhD is trained for many years in the behavioral sciences, and we do not prescribe medicine as a rule.
Well, in my case, that's a plus for you.
Okay, well, that's good.
You know, I don't even take aspirin, you know, so I've kind of got a thing about medicine.
Right.
That's certainly a plus. But how do you deal with trauma? I'm not sure that I've handled it well. I think I'm a little angrier than I should be at the occurrences, just everyday occurrences. I have a tendency to get a little bit more angry about those occurrences than I would have normally.
That can happen, Clay. One of the places that you can really get stuck a bit after you've gone through trauma is in that choice bitterness versus forgiveness. If you don't deal with that one, and if you hang on to some bitterness, and it may kind of go underground, it may be, maybe inside that you're sort of holding, and it may not come out specifically as that issue, but you can find yourself getting more irritable, more angry at other things, and it can sometimes get in the way of the relationships that you really want to have, or the functioning on a day-to-day basis that you want to have as a rational person.
Well, the last relationship I had, I'm sure that this manifested, and she tended to blame it on sugar, and that was just irritating to me. You know?
Yeah, that just made you madder, did it?
Yeah, let me have my coffee in the morning. Let me have my soda in the morning. You know, it's not like I'm drinking 10 Cokes a day. You know, I have a little bit of caffeine to get started with. I get up at 4:30 in the morning to do the show.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, it's certainly natural to be angry when something happens to you that is absolutely the unexpected, unthinkable. It's just what wasn't supposed to happen. It violates your dreams, your hopes, your plans. You're going on your life. You've got a plan. Somebody said life's what happens when you're planning something else. And one day you're on top of the world, the next day the world's on top of you. And so it's natural to feel some anger about that. But anger is a short-term emotion. And when you allow it to kind of get down inside you and harden a bit, excuse me, then it becomes bitterness. And that's what affects you long-term. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you change bitterness into forgiveness? That's number five on your list.
Well, you know, I think one of the reasons some people resist forgiveness is that they really don't know what it is. So that's really sort of the first step, is clarifying what forgiveness really is. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's not something that just comes over you one day. It's actually a decision. It's a decision to let yourself get free from what happened to you. So it's
And it also doesn't mean that you're saying what happened doesn't matter, or that you're just excusing it away and just pretending that that there's no problem with it, because that's certainly not true. If it weren't something that were pretty big, you wouldn't be needing to forgive. So it's really acknowledging that, yes, this was a big problem. Yes, it hurt, and yes, it was wrong, but I don't choose to let myself stay tied to it long term. So forgiveness is giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. You sit down, I think it's best if you sit down and actually write out the things that you are enacting this forgiveness for. Write it out and then take those things one by one. And if it's about a person, then sit yourself down in a chair and put a chair right next to you and imagine that that person is sitting in that chair, and one by one read those things off the list, and then look at that person as if they were there and say, I forgive you. I release you from that. And that is hard to do, but I tell you what, it is absolutely a freeing thing to do. You don't do it for that person. You don't do it for those people. You do it for yourself. Clay, one time I was doing a seminar, and one of the ways I demonstrate this in my seminars is I may have one person come up and imagine, have the whole audience imagine that they are me and that this is the person that they're holding a grudge against and that they're having trouble forgiving. And then I take a long rope and just tie the two of us together, and then we try to walk ahead, and of course it hampers the walk. It makes it more difficult for the person who has been injured to walk. And I did this one day, and a woman right on the front row said, "Oh my Lord." And I said, "What is it?" And she said, "I just realized something. I've been sleeping with my ex-husband for the last 10 years And she had just realized she was literally psychologically taking him to bed with her every night because she was dwelling and thinking about the things that had happened. And she decided to actually divorce him after 10 years, even though the legal divorce had taken place many years earlier.
I have a tendency to internalize this, this interview.
Mm-hmm.
Because... certainly the trauma that I went through,
mm-hmm.
from an accident that I'm simply not convinced it was an accident.
Right.
And because of all of the subsequent things that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, it's hard enough to get over something that just happened out of the blue. But certainly in terms of trauma and also in terms of forgiveness, the things that are the most difficult are those that you believe were deliberately caused by someone else. And yet the principles are the same. And the harm that it does to you and to your heart and your ability to relate with others is the same. So it's even more urgent that when someone else did it, that you let go of it because the injury is so deep.
Well, I had been married for 24 years, and my wife has said, "Well, you know, I came to see you every day in the hospital,"
mm-hmm.
and I have no reason to not to believe that. I believe she did,
mm-hmm.
but I was kept drugged in such a drug state. I have no memory of that 3 months in three different hospitals.
Yeah.
But when I got out, I was pretty excited about it. I lived. I conquered something that I wasn't supposed to be able to conquer.
Mm-hmm.
They told the witnesses that this guy will never make it, man. Nobody injured that badly could possibly live, and I did.
Yes.
But then my wife, 24 years, left, and she had good reasons to leave. Her sister was dying in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
But then she wanted a six-month separation,
mm-hmm.
from me. 3 weeks after I got out of the hospital, and I said, "No, you know, if you're going to leave me, I'm going to get a divorce," and I did that. And
mm-hmm.
you know, to this day, I don't know whether I made the right decision or if I should have just waited 6 months and let her to come back. But I made the decision, and I've been single ever since. It's and I don't, you know, we still talk. I mean, we still, and I communicate with my sons, but, you know, I, and I try not to feel anger at her for doing that.
Yeah. But, and it sounds like another thing that you're struggling with, Clay, is one of the other choices, which is guilt versus self-forgiveness. Because, you know, you're looking back with regret and with questions about, did I do the right thing? What was the result of that? And the truth is, that is not a changeable thing at this point. And when you're looking at what being able to forgive yourself for a decision that may or may not have been the right thing at that time, we don't know. You were in that place at that time, and you took the information that you had, and you tried to make the best decision that you could. And so at this point in time, the question is there something that I need to do today about that? That's really the question. Because guilt serves a purpose. It serves only one good purpose, and that is to correct a behavior or an attitude or a thought process that's wrong, that's leading you down a destructive path. And so if it's something that's either out of your control, which things in the past are, if it is something that you've done your best to correct as time has gone on, then anything that's lingering about that in terms of the woulda, coulda, shoulda sort of thought process is really only destructive. Guilt is healthy guilt is specific. It points to something specific that you need to change. If it lingers on and on for years, then that's really just torment. And, you know, if there's something today that you need to do in terms of reestablishing that relationship, then cool, do it. But kind of beating yourself up about it for years on end only robs you of the energy that you can take and use today to do all of those things that you're called to do, and you have so many productive things that you do.
There, had a conversation with an old friend of mine who's I'm sort of involved with in a business aspect. But he was being critical about the show that I do, and made the comment, "Well, you're not the man that you used to be, Clay."
Mm.
And I really tried to give that a lot of thought.
Mm-hmm.
And ask myself, how have I changed? What have I done that's wrong? I mean, I'm still doing the same things that I've always done as far as publishing,
uh-huh.
and you know, but I am doing it alone right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have not found the companion that I had for 24 years, so mm-hmm. I are anything close to that,
mm-hmm.
and. You know, how do you try to analyze something like that? If somebody says you're not the man you used to be, how do you analyze that?
Well, the first thing
I'm the same kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like it's almost a joke between me and you know, really close friends. Gee, we just prayed that when you got out of the hospital, you'd be a kinder, gentler Clay Douglas. Well, let's say if I was a kinder, gentler Clay Douglas, I wouldn't be Clay Douglas.
Yeah, yeah. You know, people have different personalities and different things that they're called to do, different purposes in life, and various personalities are suited for certain purposes that they need to get accomplished. So that part doesn't bother me. But in terms of your friend making that statement, you're not the person you used to be. The first thing I would do is ask him for clarification. What exactly are you referring to? Now, I wouldn't take that as the gospel, but then I might go back and reflect on that and take some snapshots at various points along the way, maybe some snapshots before the accident, and then at various points in your recovery and today, and ask yourself at the core, who am I? What is my calling? This is going to sound a little weird, but what would I really want written on my tombstone or said at my eulogy? And those are really your values.
So am I today in my behavior, my attitudes, and in my work and all my calling, am I reflecting those values that are most important to me? And are there some ways that I can refine that a bit? But am I really pretty much on center in terms of what my values really are? You see, tragedy and adversity in life will change you. It does change you. It will either, as your friends, make you that kinder, gentler person, because some people, after they go through something like that, really come to terms with what it's like to have that happen, and they go on and do become a little softer in the process. Some come out of that bitter and so on, and I don't necessarily think that's true, but some come out with a stronger determination of purpose, because the tenth choice is powerlessness versus purpose. And when you come to terms with what exactly is my purpose in life, and you can become just more and more determined that you're going to do that with a vengeance and a determination.
Okay. Hold on, we got to take a break. We'll be right back with Dr.
Sometime now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business, and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
All right, my guest, Dr. Bev Smallwood, lecturer, psychologist, and my guest today. And some of my folks in the chat room, Bev, have suggested a couple of epitaphs for me. Since
oh, yeah? What were those?
I'm too busy for this.
I love it.
And see, I told you I was sick.
That's great. That would actually be kind of a fun exercise around there for everybody to think about that.
Yeah, well, you know, that's hard for me because I have this attitude, you know, I'm not going to die. You're not going to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quitting.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, and that's really a great attitude. Of course, we're all going to die at some point along the way, but I'm not going to quit. There is a time to quit something. It's a wise person who knows when to back up from a particular thing that's not getting results and that is just eating up resources that need to go to something new and they need to shift courses. But it's also the wise person who knows that no matter what shifts take place in their life, that they're never going to quit. There is absolutely nothing that's going to defeat them in the sense of being able to just give up on life. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, well, with me, you know, I guess I just did a story about vets and how there have been literally thousands of them die from committing suicide.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, say, in the last 3 years, I've certainly thought about that a lot. I mean, I go to sleep with my gun beside my bed and stare at it a lot before I doze off. But I simply won't. That's not an option for me because if they did that, the people that tried to kill me would have won.
They would have won, exactly. You know, suicide is it certainly comes under the choice depression versus grief. But in depression, you get so hopeless that you're in a lot of pain and you feel like it's just never going to get any better. And that really is the essence of the hopelessness that sometimes leads folks into suicide. But if you can see that this is temporary and I can keep on going, and while I may not see the solution right this minute, but there are still little actions that I can take. You don't have to have the grand solution just yet, but if you can just keep moving one step at a time. One time I was I had been with my daughter over next door to a lady's house. She lived up on a hill, and we had stayed too late. It had gotten dark, and we started back down the hill. She was only 4 years old at the time. We started back down the hill, and she said, "Mommy, Mommy, we can't see." And about that time, she said, "Look, if we look down at our feet, we can see how to take the next step." And so you may not be able to see out there, but if there's some little something that you can keep doing right in front of you, then when you take that step, it can give more light. There's always hope.
All right. Bev, if you will, tell people about the book here and where they can get that. This Wasn't Supposed to Happen to Me.
Right. The book is This Wasn't Supposed to Happen to Me. It's available at local major chains as well as Amazon and online bookstores.
All right. And you'll be with me on my second show tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Look forward to that.
Forward to that. All right. We're out of time here, folks. Dr. Bev Smallwood, my guest. My number is 888-678-1444. Call and pick up copies of the last two issues of The Free American for your neighborhood and your family. God bless.
Since 1980.